أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك وعلى آل بيتك المظلومين الغر الميامين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك، عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله، أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Again. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. A third time, it's the day of Ashura. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Indeed, it is a tragic day on the household of the Prophet of Islam. The Ahlul Bayt. It is a day on which the Imams never smiled, never laughed. All they did was weep and shed tears. They would remember their grandfather, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, on this tragic day. Imam al-Hujjat al-Muntazar, our awaited savior, the Imam of our time, says that I shed not only tears but blood for you, O grandfather, O Hussein. Every day, twice in every day, al-Hujjat al-Mahdi remembers his grandfather. He remembers the tragic events of the day of Ashura, the day that left tears shedding from the eyes of Ahlul Bayt forever to come. Imam al-Rida, peace and blessings be upon him, says in one of his traditions, he said, the day of Hussein left our eyes shedding tears, our hearts bleeding. It humiliated and humbled our noble ones in a day of trial and tribulation, and in a land of Karbala. فعلى الحسين فليبكي الباكون. If anyone wants to cry, it shall be on Hussein. Imam al-Ridha says, this day left the Ahlul Bayt weeping all the time, everywhere. Imam Ali is offered a dye to use to dye his beard, a henna, when he's in the Battle of Siffin. Ammar approaches him. He says, oh, Commander of the Faithful, take this dye. It is mustahab to dye your beard with it. Imam Ali says to Ammar, oh Ammar, do you not know that we are in a state of mourning? He says, but what mourning is that, O Ali ibn Abi Talib? No calamity has befallen you. He says, Imam Ali then says, we're in the state of mourning, Rasulullah. And this is 25 years after the demise of the Prophet and Messenger of Allah. We're mourning Fatima al-Zahra. We're mourning Abu Abdullah. The Imams, the Prophet himself, cried for his grandson Abu Abdullah al-Hussein since the day he was born. People are usually happy when a newborn comes into the family. Rasulullah looked at his grandson, his beloved Hussein, and started shedding tears. Fatima al-Zahra was surprised. Oh father, why are you crying? Shouldn't you be happy? He said, yes, my daughter, but I remember the day on which the throat of this child, of this infant, will be slit, and his blood will be shed on the plains of Karbala. Fatima al-Zahra weeps, Amir al-Mu'mineen weeps, they all cry together. Then Fatima al-Zahra says, oh father, O messenger of Allah, will that be in a time where I will be alive, where you will be alive? He says, no, O daughter, O Fatima, I will not be there to help my grandson Hussein. You won't be there to mourn your son Hussein. Imam Ali won't be there to help him, to support him. Fatima al-Zahra cries even louder. She says, but will there be anyone that will mourn my son? Rasulullah says, indeed, Fatima, my daughter, the men of my nation will cry for Imam Hussein. For the men of my household, and the women will grieve the women of my household. On this day, on the day of Ashura, it was the day on which the sand was turned into blood, and this was the sign that Imam Hussein was killed. Umm Salama, the loyal wife of the Prophet, she had received that sand as a gift from Rasulullah. He told her that on the day the sand will be turned into blood, know that my grandson, my beloved Hussein, will be lying on the sand dunes of Karbala. There will be thousands of swords thirsty for his blood, and his blood will be shed on the sands. On this day, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein stood against an army of 150,000, even though his troops did not exceed 120 or 130. Commanding a force of 30,000 strong, Umar ibn Sa'd. Initially he had about 30,000. He marched to confront Imam al-Hussein, the chiefs of the Kufa quarters at the time. He assigned different chiefs to every contingent and every quarter. Abdullah ibn Zuhayr ibn Sulaym al-Azdi headed the Medinites. Abdurrahman ibn Abu Sabrah al-Hanafi headed the Manthaj and Asad. Qais ibn al-Ash'ath and al-Rab'i headed the Kindah, and so on and so forth, caving a caste A look at the troops that resemble the torrent. Al-Hussein raised his hands to supplicate to Allah. On that most tragic day, the first thing that crosses the mind of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is to converse with his beloved Lord and Master Allah, the Merciful. He says, Lord, you are my trust in every adversity, my hope in every hardship. You are to me my trust and treasure for whatever afflicts me. How many worries have you removed and dissipated that overburdened my heart, exhausted my plans, betrayed my friends? On that very day, he does not forget to thank the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, you've done all these things to me, having placed my hope upon you, O Allah. You are the originator of every blessing and the ultimate end of every wish. Al-Hussein called for his camel. He wanted to go to the enemy and exhort them and to remind them of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remind them of the rewards for those who repent and seek forgiveness. He asked for his camel. Having mounted it, he called out loudly enough to be heard. He said, O people, listen to my speech and do not rush till I admonish you with that which I owe you. I owe you to tell you these things. Imam Hussein tells them he owes them. I admonish you with that which I owe you, and so that I tell you why I have come here. So if you accept my excuse and believe my statements, if you do that, and I fare with me with equity, you will be much happier and you will see no reason to expose me to this. Allow me to present my case, Imam Hussein tells them. But if you do not accept my reason and do not fare with me with equity, then gather your affair and your accomplices and do not feel sorry for what you do, but effect your judgment in my regard and do not grant me any respite. Surely my Lord is Allah who revealed the book and He looks after the righteous. When the women heard this statement, they cried and wailed and their voices grew loud. Whereupon he sent them his brother Al-Abbas. Imam al-Hussein couldn't hear the voices of his women weeping and crying. He had to send his brother to calm them down. He sent his brother Al-Abbas and his son Ali ibn al-Akbar to ask them to maintain quiet and not to cry. Once the ladies were quiet, al-Hussein praised Allah again and glorified Him. Blessed Muhammad and all the angels and prophets, delivering a speech which no orator before or after him was more outspoken. He then said, O servants of Allah. He reminds them that they are none but servants of Allah. They are slaves and creation of the Almighty. O servants of Allah, fear Allah and be your own. And be on your guard with regard to this life, which had it remained for anyone at all, the prophets would have been the most worthy of it. This life does not remain for anyone. He reminds them of that. He says if this life was supposed to remain for anyone, the prophets were more worthy of having the world remain for them and the most pleased with fate. But Allah created this life so that it would perish. He reminds them of death. What is new in it will soon grow old. Its pleasures diminishes and its happiness is fleeting. A man's home is but a mound and one's house is a fort. So get ready for the next, for the best for which you prepare yourselves is piety. Fear Allah so that you may be the winners, O people. Allah the Most Exalted One created life and made it a temporary abode. These sermons, my brothers and my sisters, were not just delivered for those treacherous enemies of Allah. Imam al-Hussein knew that they were thirsty for his blood. He knew that they would not listen to him. But he wanted this voice to reach us, to reach me, and to reach you. So let's listen to his words. O people, Allah the Most Exalted One created life and made it a temporary abode, taking its people from one condition to another. Conceited is whoever gets fascinated by it, and miserable is whoever gets infatuated by it. So do not let this life deceive you, for it shall disappoint whoever trusts and desires it. For it shall deceive whoever trusts and desires it. So do not let this life deceive you, for it shall disappoint whoever trusts and desires it. I can see that you have all set your minds on doing something, because of which you have caused Allah to curse you and to turn His glorious countenance away from you. He is telling them that you are here to kill me, and yet He tells them these words. He reminds them of God's wrath. He reminds them of His mercy, and He reminds them of death. He then says, causing you to be the object of His wrath, kind is our Lord and mean servants of His are we. Isn't that so true? Kind is our Lord and mean servants are we. You declared obedience to and belief in Muhammad the Messenger. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala. Then you put your ranks together to kill His progeny. How could you claim to be followers of Rasulullah when all you're trying to do is kill His progeny and his close kindred? Then you put your ranks together to kill His progeny and offspring. Satan took full control of you, making you forget the remembrance of Allah, the great. Perdition hence is your lot and ultimate end. We belong to Allah, and to Him is our return. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. These are people who have turned apostates after having believed. So away with the oppressive people. O people, identify me and find out who I am. If you don't know who I am, I'll identify myself to you. Then go back to your evil selves and blame them. Then see whether it is lawful for you to violate my sanctity. Am I not the son of your prophet's daughter, the son of his wasi and cousin, the foremost to believe, the first one to believe in Rasulullah was Ali ibn Abi Talib, and that is none but my father. Am I not the son of your prophet's daughter, the son of Ali, the foremost to believe, the one who testified to the truth of what he had brought from his Lord? Is not Hamza the master of martyrs my uncle? Is not Ja'far al-Tayyar my uncle? Have you not heard that the Messenger of Allah had said about me and about my brother, these are the masters of the youths of paradise? So if you believe what I say, which is the truth, let me swear by Allah that I never deliberately told a lie, since I came to know that Allah hates lying and liars, and that lying is detrimental to those who invent it. But if you disbelieve in me, there are among you those who, if you ask them, can inform you of the same. Ask Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Ask Abu Sa'id al-Khudari. And then he mentioned some of the companions of Rasulullah who can testify to the truthfulness of Imam Hussein's claim. Ask them with regard to myself and to my brother, is this not sufficient to curb you from shedding my blood? Shimr ibn Dil Jawshan was standing, he's the chief of this contingent. He said he worships Allah by a letter, pointing to Imam al-Hussein. In other words, what he's trying to say is that Imam al-Hussein does not know the religion of his grandfather Rasulullah. He worships Allah by a letter. Had he known what he is saying, Habib ibn Mubahir said to him, by Allah, I see you worshipping Allah on 70 letters, and I testify that you are truthful when you say that you do not know what he is saying. Allah has surely sealed your heart. Al-Hussein then said, do you doubt that I am the son of your prophet's daughter? If you can deny anything, this is one thing you cannot ever deny. I am the son of the Prophet's only daughter, Fatima al-Zahra. By Allah, there is no son of a prophet from the east of the earth to the west beside myself. I'm the only son of a prophet that lives on the planet, be it among you or among others. Woe unto you, Are you seeking revenge on me for killing one of you? Have I killed anyone? Or is it on account of your wealth which I devoured? Did I take anything from you? Or are we seeking qisas? Have I done something? Have I hurt someone? None of them spoke a word to the Imam, so he called out, O Shabath ibn Rab'i, O Hajr ibn Abjar, O Qais ibn al-Ash'ath, O Zayd ibn al-Harith, did you not write me saying, come for the fruits are ripe? You called on to me to come to you, and now you are there with your swords unsheathed to kill me. You said, come for the fruits are ripe, the pastures are green, and you will come to troops ready for your command. They said, we did not do so. They lied. The Imam said, Subhanallah, glorified is Allah. Yes, by Allah, you did exactly so. Then he said, O people, if you hate me, let me go away from your sight to a safe place on earth. Qais ibn al-Ash'ath said to him, are you not going first to accept the authority of your cousins, meaning Yazid ibn Muawiyah? Are you going to accept their authority? They surely will not deal with you except most amicably, and they will not harm you in the least. Al-Husayn said to him, are you the brother of your brother? Did you want Banu Hashim to demand that you pay for the blood of someone else besides that of Muslim ibn Aqil? You've already killed my cousin Muslim, and now you're asking me to come and pledge my allegiance to Yazid. No, by Allah, I shall not give them as the subservient one gives, nor shall I flee from them as slaves flee. Wallah, la a'tihim biyadi i'ta'a al-dhalil, wa la afirru minhum firar al-abid. O servants of Allah, I have sought refuge with Allah, your Lord and mine, against your stoning me. And I seek refuge with my Lord and yours against any arrogant person who does not believe in the day of reckoning. When the campaign first started, Umar ibn Sa'd advanced towards Al-Husayn's troops and shot an arrow saying, testify for me with the governor that I shot the first arrow. Testify for me with the governor that I was the one who shot the first arrow. Others followed suit. Hardly any of Al-Husayn's men escaped being shot by an arrow. The Imam said to his companions, stand, may Allah be merciful unto you and meet the imminent death. And for these arrows are messengers of these people to you. Please come. You've come here to protect us. You've come here to support us. This is the time when we need your help. They have launched the war. They have waged the battle against us. And now these are the messengers of the people to you. The arrows are telling you that it is time to fight. He and his companions charged together and fought for a while. By the time the cloud of dust dissipated, 50 men from Imam Hussein's army had been killed. Remember, he only had 72 men. In the beginning of the battle, he had to lose 50 of them. Having seen how her husband, one of the women that accompanied Imam Hussein along with her husband, having seen her husband so valiantly fought, Umm Wahab, daughter of Abdullah, who belonged to Al-Nimr ibn al-Qasit, took a rod and came to him, to her husband, saying, may both my parents be sacrificed for you. Do defend the good ones, the offspring of Muhammad. Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his progeny. He wanted to take her back to the tents, but she kept persisting, holding to his clothes and saying, I shall not leave you until I die with you. Al-Husayn called out to her saying, may you be well rewarded on behalf of your prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Go back to the tent. Women are not required to fight. And she did. She went back to the tent. Imam Al-Husayn was in a situation where he needed to ask for help and support. So when he saw that a large number of his companions had died, he took hold of his sacred beard and said, Allah's wrath intensified against the Jews for having attributed a son to him, and his wrath intensified against the Christians who made him one of three, and his wrath also intensified against the Zoroastrians who worship the sun and the moon instead of worshiping him, and his wrath intensified against people who collectively agreed to kill the son of their prophet's daughter. By Allah, I shall never agree with them about anything they want me to do till I meet Allah drenched in my blood. Then he called out, Allah, hal min nasirin yansurna. Allah, hal min mu'in yu'inuna. Is there anyone who would defend the ladies of the Messenger of Allah? Allah, hal min dhabbin yadubbu an haram Rasulillah. Hearing him, the women cried and wailed. Two Ansaris, Sa'd ibn Hurayth and his brother Abu Hutuf, heard al-Husayn pleading for help. They could not bear hear the words of Imam al-Husayn pleading for help, asking for support, and yet stand idly aside. And they also heard the cries of his children. They were both with the army of Ubaydillah ibn Sa'd. They suddenly turned against al-Husayn's enemy around them and kept killing them till they themselves were killed. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj attacked from the Euphrates side, fighting for a while. This engagement involved Muslim ibn Awsaj, one of the most loyal companions of Imam al-Husayn and companions of his father Amir al-Mu'mineen. The engagement involved Muslim ibn Awsaj, Muslim ibn Abdullah al-Dababi and Abdullah ibn al-Khashqarah. Attacked him, causing a huge cloud of dust, which once dissipated, showed Muslim lying on the ground, drawing his last breath. Escorted by Habib ibn Mudahir, al-Husayn alayhi salam walked towards him and said, May Allah be merciful unto you, O Muslim. Among them are those who died, and among them are those who wait, and they never changed aught in the least. منهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. Habib came closer to him. They were close friends since childhood. Habib came to Muslim ibn Awsajah. He said to him, Your being killed is truly devastating to me, O Muslim. Receive the glad tidings of paradise. In every faint voice, the dying hero said, May Allah convey to you too such a glad tiding. Habib said, Had I not known that I'll soon be following you, I would have liked to convey your will. I would have liked you to convey your will to me with regard to anything on your mind. What are the last words that Muslim ibn Awsajah tells his friend? Habib ibn Mubahir, tell me what's on your mind. Muslim ibn Awsajah said, All I want you to do is to look after this man, pointing to al-Husayn, adding, to defend him till death, I want you to defend him until you die. Oh, Habib ibn Mubahir. Habib said, I will inshallah do exactly so. I will make you proud, oh Muslim ibn Awsaj. It was then that Muslim breathed his last as he was lying between both men. His women cried out, Wa Muslima, Wa Sayyida, Wa ibn Awsajata. Ibn al-Hajjaj, feeling elated about Muslim's martyrdom, he was happy, he was the one who contributed in his death. He kept shouting in excitement that they killed Muslim, because they were all afraid of Muslim ibn Awsajah, Shabath ibn Rab'i, another treacherous enemy of Allah. He cried, he said to those around him, May your mothers lose you. How do you really feel elated when a man such as Muslim is killed? A great stand which I saw with my own eyes involving him was in Azerbaijan, where he killed 6 polytheists even before the Muslim cavalry had enough time to form its ranks. I remember the chivalry and the courage of Muslim ibn Awsajah. How could you rejoice upon his death? At the time of Zawal, at the time of noon, Abu Thumama al-Sa'idi looked at the sun and saw that it was already afternoon. So he said to Imam Hussein, May I be sacrificed for your sake? I can see that these folks have advanced towards you. No, by Allah, I shall not be killed before I die defending you. And I love to return to Allah after having performed the prayers whose time has approached. He's about to die. He wants to die defending the Imam, but he wants to pray before he dies. This should be a lesson to all of us, O Muslims, O followers of Imam al-Hussein. Do not ever take your prayers lightly. Imam al-Hussein prayed on the very last moments of his life. And this companion, Thumama Sa'idi, also reminded the Imam of the prayer time. Al-Hussein raised his head to the heavens and said, "You have remembered the prayers. ذَكَرْتَ الصَّلَاةِ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ." May Allah count you among those who uphold the prayers and who remember Him often. Yes, this is the beginning of its time. Ask them to leave us alone so that we may perform the prayers. Al-Husayn, who had heard the Imam, one of the enemies of the Imam, he heard what he said to Abu Thumamah. When he said these words, he commented at the Imam's words by saying, "Your prayer will not be accepted. The grandson of Rasulullah's prayers will not be accepted in the eyes of this treacherous foe of Allah." Habib ibn Mudahir, the elderly companion of Imam al-Hussein, almost 70 years old, when he heard those words, when he heard what that rogue had said, so he responded to him by saying, "Do you claim that your prayers, that the prayers are not accepted from the Prophet's family, but yours are accepted? Is that what you claim?" Al-Hussein charged at him, so Habib slapped the face of Al-Hussein's horse, causing it to leap and throw its rider on the ground. Al-Hussein's men had to rush to his rescue and to carry him away to safety. Habib, despite his advanced age, fought them valiantly, killing as many as 62 men. Badil ibn Sarim attacked him and dealt a sword blow to him as a man from Tamim hit him with his lance. Habib now fell on the ground as he attempted to stand up against Al-Hussein. As he attempted to stand again, Al-Hussein hit him with his sword on the head, causing him to fall again face long. The man from Tamim alighted and severed Habib's head. May Allah have mercy on those who say, "Wa Habiba, wa Sayyida." Yet again, the Imam has lost one of his most loyal companions. Habib, being thus killed, shook Al-Hussein, who said, "It is only to Allah that I complain about what has happened to me and to my companions." For a good while, the Imam kept repeating the statement, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We belong to Allah and to Him is our return. After him, Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, who had repented, who had left the troops of the enemy and joined Imam Hussein's ranks. He came out accompanied by Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, who was protecting him from the rear. Whenever one of them attacked and the situation became critical, the other would attack to rescue him, and they kept doing so for a while. The horse on which Al-Hurr was riding received hits on its ears and eyebrows, and it was bleeding as its rider was quoting the following verse by Antar ibn Shadid al-Abasi. I kept shooting them at its very mouth, at its chest, till blood drenched it all. Al-Hussein said to Yazid ibn Sufyan, "Is this Al-Hur whom you wish to kill?" "Yes," said Yazid. So the first came out and challenged Al-Hur to a duel. It turned out that Al-Hussein was asking for a swift death, for it did not take Al-Hur long to kill him. Ayyub ibn Mashrab shot Al-Hur's horse with an arrow, hamstringing it. The poor horse leaped, so the rider leapt from it like a lion, holding a sword on his hand. He kept fighting on foot. Till he killed more than 40 men. A company from the footmen fiercely attacked him and killed him. Al-Hussein's companions carried his body and put it before the tent in front of which they were fighting. They were doing so whenever a man was killed. They would take the bodies back to the tents. And Al-Hussein each time kept repeating the statement, "He has been killed as prophets and the offspring of prophets are killed." Imam Al-Hussein turned to Al-Hur, who was breathing his last, and said to him as he wiped out the blood from his face, "Anta hudrun kama sammatka ummuk," you are Al-Hur, which means the free man, just as your mother named you, and you are free in this life as well as the life hereafter. One of the companions of Imam Hussein Some say it was Al-Husayn's son, Ali ibn al-Husayn, eulogized him. He recited verses for Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. And then Imam al-Husayn stood to perform his prayers. It is said that he led the prayer service before the survivors from among his companions. It was a special prayer called Salatul Khawf. When you are in great danger and fear, you break the prayers and you perform the prayers in the qasr form. The prayer said by one fearing for his life. In front of him stood Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn and Sa'id ibn Abdullah al-Hanafi and half of the surviving companions. When Sa'id, he stood to protect the Imam as he was being showered by arrows, and the enemies were trying to kill the Imam, so he shielded the Imam with his chest, he shielded the Imam with his body, and when Sa'id's wounds became overwhelming, he fell on the ground as he was supplicating, "Oh Allah, curse them as you curse the people of Ad and Thamud, and convey my salam to your Prophet, and tell him about the pain of the wounds which I have received, for I desired your rewards when I supported the offspring of your Prophet. Peace of Allah be upon him and his progeny." He turned to Imam al-Husayn and asked him, "Have I carried out my obligation, O son of the Messenger of Allah?" "Yes," said Imam Husayn, "and you shall reach paradise before I do." Then the hero died. As many as 13 arrows were found planted in his body, in addition to the blows which he had sustained from swords and lances. Having finished his prayers, Imam al-Husayn addressed the companions. He said, "O honorable men, here is paradise, with its gates wide open for you, with its rivers joining one another, with its fruits ripe. And here is the Messenger of Allah and the martyrs who were killed in the cause of Allah. They're all waiting for you to join them. They are congratulating one another on your account. So do defend the religion of Allah, of Allah and of His Prophet, and do protect the women of the Messenger of Allah. فَحَامُوا عَنْ حَرِيمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ." They all said to him, "May our lives be sacrificed for yours, and may our blood protect yours. May Allah, so long as blood flows in our veins, no harm shall reach you or your ladies." Umar ibn Sa'd dispatched Amr ibn Sa'id in charge of a company of archers to shoot arrows at al-Husayn's companions and to hamstring their horses. Not a single horseman remained with al-Husayn except al-Dhahhak ibn Abdullah al-Mashriqi, who recounted the report. He said, "Having seen how the horses of our fellows were being hamstrung, I came with my horse and entered a tent belonging to our fellows. They fought most fiercely. Whoever wanted to come out to fight would bid al-Husayn farewell and say, 'Assalamu alayka, ya ibn Rasulullah.' Al-Husayn would then respond to him by saying, 'Wa alayka salam,' and 'We shall soon join your company.' He then quoted the Quranic verse, 'Wa minhum man qada nahbah, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوهُ تَبْدِيلًا." A cousin of Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn al-Bajali came out and fought till he was killed. He was followed by Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn, again one of the companions of Imam al-Husayn, one of the fiercest fighters in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He put his hand on al-Husayn's shoulder and sought permission to fight with these verses. He asked Imam Husayn for permission using poetic verses. He says, "Advance may you guide, O guided one, for today shall I, your grandfather the Prophet, meet, and I shall meet al-Hasan and Ali, the pleased one, and the one with two wings. The valiant youth greets Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the Lion of Allah, the living martyr. Zuhayr, am I, and the son of Al-Qayn, with the sword do I defend Husayn?" Al-Husayn responded by saying, "And I too shall follow." As he fought, Zuhayr kept reciting the verse, "Zuhayr, am I, and the son of Al-Qayn, with my sword do I defend Husayn." He killed 120 men. Kathir ibn Abdullah al-Sa'bi and al-Muhajir ibn Aws jointly attacked and killed Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn. It was then that Imam al-Husayn stood up and said, "May Allah never keep you distant from us, O Zuhayr, and may He condemn those who killed you as He had condemned those whom He turned into apes and into pigs." His pure soul parted from his body. Al-Husayn walked to Aslam, his slave, and hugged him. He was breathing his last and was able to smile. He felt proud and died with a smile lighting his face. Yazid ibn Ma'qil called out, "O Burayr!" Again, Burayr was one of the loyal companions of Imam al-Husayn, whom he called on the last moments of his life when he was about to charge against the enemy. He called out the names of a few companions, asking them for help for the last time. One of them was Burayr. This treacherous man called out, "O Burayr, how do you see what Allah has done to you?" Burayr answered, "Allah has done very well to me while afflicting you with evil." Yazid said, "You have lied, and before today you were never known to lie. Do you remember the day when I was walking with you in the quarters of Banu Lawthan, when you said that Muawiyah had strayed and that the Imam of Guidance is Ali ibn Abi Talib?" Burayr answered, "Yes, I testify that such is my view." Yazid said, "And I bear witness that you are among the misguided." Burayr then challenged him to a mubahala. They both raised their hands in prayer and asked and invoked the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the lying party. They both raised their hands and supplicated to Allah, glory to Him, invoking Him to curse the liar and to kill him. Then they fought one another. Burayr hit the man on his head with his sword, splitting it into two halves. Yazid fell as Burayr's sword was still planted in his head as he was trying to take it out. Radi ibn Munqidh al-Abdi attacked Burayr and engaged him in a fight for some time. Burayr subdued this one too, sitting on his chest. The loser screamed for help, whereupon Afif ibn Zuhayr ibn Abu al-Akhnas shouted at him, "This is Burayr ibn Khudayr, the Qari' who used to teach us the Qur'an at Kufa's mosque," but he did not pay him any attention and stabbed Burayr in the back. Burayr fell on Radi and bit him on the face, cutting the tip of his nose off. Ka'b used his lance to remove him from the man's chest, then hit him with a sword, killing him. The Al-Abdi man stood up to remove the dust from his clothes, saying, "O brother of the Asd, you have done me a favor which I shall never forget." When Ka'b ibn Jubayr returned to his family, his wife An-Nuwar rebuked him, saying, "You have sided with the enemies of Fatima's son and killed the master of Kufa's Qari's. You have done something monstrous. By Allah, I shall never speak to you," his mother told him. "I shall never speak to you a word." And then the turn came to Abis ibn Shabib. Abis stood before Abu Abdullah al-Husayn and said, "None on the face of earth received the night, be he a near or a distant kin, who was dearer to me than you. Had I been able to ward off injustice from you with anything more precious than my life, I would have done so. Peace be with you, and I testify that I am on your and your father's guidance." He walked towards the enemy with his sword raised despite a wound which he had already received on his forehead. All men who saw him shouted, "O men, stay away from him." They knew very well that he was the most courageous person in the camp. Observing the situation, Umar ibn Sa'd shouted, "Kill him with your stones. If you cannot confront him with swords, kill him by throwing stones at him." He became the target of a shower of stones. Having seen that, he put down his shield and charged, causing as many as 200 men to flee away from him. He took off the armor, he put down the shield, and he charged against the enemy, and they still ran away from him. Soon they surrounded him from all directions and killed him. A number of them disputed with one another about who among them would take his head, covering it as a booty. Ibn Sa'd said, "This man was not killed by one single person. He distributed the slain's hero's head. gear among them, because they all had to kill him collectively, as no single person could have killed Abbas ibn Shabib. He was the man who took off his armor and charged against the enemy. One person said, "Have you gone mad, Abbas ibn Shabib? Oh Abbas, have you gone mad?" He said, "Yes, inna hubba al-Husayn ajannani. I have gone mad through the love of Hussein." John, a slave of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, stood before al-Husayn. He was a black slave of Abi Dharr. His name was John. He used to be a Christian. He converted to Islam at the hands of Abi Dharr al-Ghifari. He stood before Imam al-Husayn, requesting him to grant him permission to fight. The Imam said, "Oh John, you have followed us seeking your good health, so you are excused. You do not have to fight in our cause. You do not have to shed your blood in our way. You're excused. You can leave, O John." But the old man fell on the Imam's feet, kissing them and saying, "I, in the time of prosperity, lick what is served on your tables. So should I, in the time of hardship, betray you. My smell is surely bad. My lineage is lowly. My color is black. So do bestow upon me a breeze from paradise, so that my smell will be good, my lineage will be honored, and my color will be whitened. No, by Allah, I shall never abandon you till this black blood mixes with yours." Al-Husayn therefore granted him permission. He killed as many as 25 men before he himself was finally killed. Al-Husayn stood by his corpse and supplicated, saying, "Ya Allah, bayyid wajha, O Lord, whiten his face, make his smell good, join him with Muhammad and link him to the progeny of Rasulullah." Whoever thereafter passed by the battleground was able to smell his corpse, emitting a fragrance sweeter than that of musk from this old slave known as John. Anas ibn al-Harith ibn Nabih al-Kahili, a 90-year-old man and a renowned Sahabi who had met and listened to the hadith of Rasulullah and fought in his company the battles of Badr and Hunayn. He was 90 years old, his back was bent, his eyebrows covering his eyes, he couldn't even hold a sword properly, and yet he was willing to sacrifice his life in the way of Imam Hussein. He fought in the company of Rasulullah in the battles of Badr and Hunayn. He too sought al-Husayn's permission to go and fight. He came out tying his waist with a turban, his forehead bandaged. Having seen him looking like that, Imam al-Husayn cried and said, "Shakarallahu sa'yaka ya Shaykh." May Allah thank you, O Shaykh, for what you are doing for us. Despite his old age, he killed 18 men before being killed and slaughtered by the enemy. Ultimately, at the end, Amr ibn Junadah al-Ansari, again another close companion, he came out after his father had been killed. He was a companion of Imam Hussein, a very loyal servant of Abi Abdullah, despite his very young age. His father had just been killed. He was only 11 years old. He sought al-Husayn's permission to fight, but al-Husayn refused, saying, "This is a young boy whose father was killed in the first campaign, and perhaps his mother hates to see him go too." But the boy said, "It was my mother who ordered me to do so." It was then that the Imam permitted him to fight. His mother was the one who then approached Imam al-Husayn and said to him, "Atuthkalu ummuka al-Zahra biwaladiha wa la uthkalu biwaladi la wallah. I will not rest until I see my 11-year-old boy be killed and be laid next to the children, next to the sons of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn." Imam al-Husayn then granted him permission to fight. It was not long before he was killed and his head was thrown in the direction of Imam Hussein's camp. It was taken by his mother, who wiped the blood from it and used it as a weapon to hit a man nearby, killing him instantly. She went back to the camp and took a rod, or according to other accounts, a sword, and recited the verses, "An old woman and a weakling am I, crumbling, skinny, and old, yet I with force strike you and try to defend Fatima's son, the honorable and bold. Al-Hussein took her back to the tent after she had killed two men using a tent pole. Al-Hajjaj ibn Masruq al-Jufi, another companion. He fought till his body became soaked with blood. He went to Al-Hussein telling him, "Today shall I meet your grandfather, the Nabi, then your father, the generous one, Ali, the one we know as the Wasi." Al-Hussein responded by saying, "I too shall meet them soon after you." He therefore went back and fought till he was killed. After all the companions were killed, it was now the Ahlul Bayt's turn to go and fight and be killed before the eyes of Imam Hussein. No one remained with Al-Hussein except his Ahlul Bayt, who were determined to face death with their might and to maintain their dignity. They came bidding each other farewell, the first being Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Akbar, who was 27 years old, and according to other accounts, only 18. He was born on the 11th of Sha'ban, and he was a mirror reflecting the Prophet's own beauty and a model of his own sublime code of ethics, a specimen of his wise speech. Once he was about to start his role in defending Ahlul Bayt, it rested extremely heavily for the ladies who grew up in the lap of Imam, because he was the one upon whom they rested their hopes for their protection and security. The women could not bear to see Ali al-Akbar leave for the battlefield. Their only hope after Imam al-Hussein was Ali al-Akbar. One of them would see the message about to be muted with his death, while another would see the sun of prophethood nearing an eclipse, while yet another one would see Muhammad's code of ethics coming to an end. They all surrounded him. All the women came, surrounded Ali al-Akbar. They all begged him not to leave, not to march towards the battlefield, surrounded him and pleaded to him, saying, have mercy on our being strangers in this land. Arham ghurbatana. We cannot bear your separation. He did not pay them any attention because he knew that his father needed all the help he could get, because he could easily see how his enemies were to the end determined to spill his pure blood. He sought his father's permission, then came out riding on a horse belonging to Imam Hussein, named Lahiq, from the camp of Layla, mother of Ali al-Akbar, and daughter of Maymuna, daughter of Abu Sufyan. A man shouted, "O Ali, you have kinship with the commander of the faithful Yazid, and we wish to safeguard it, so if you wish, we can grant you security." Because he had a relation with Yazid ibn Muawiyah from his mother's side, they said, "We can give you security, we can give you immunity, you don't have to be killed." He said, "The kinship I have with the Messenger of Allah, peace of Allah and blessings be upon him and his progeny, is now more worthy of being safeguarded. I do not want to save my blood from being shed, while the blood of my father, Imam al-Hussein, and the blood of his companions and his children is being shed." Then he recited the Rajaz verses, identifying his holy self and his sublime objective. أنا علي بن الحسين بن علي نحن ورب البيت أولى بالنبي تالله لا يحكم فينا ابن الدعي أضرب بالسيف أحامي عن أبي. I am Ali, the son of Al-Hussein, son of Ali. We by the house's lord are more worthy of the Nabi. By Allah, we shall never be ruled by the Da'i, meaning Yazid. With the sword shall I defend my family and strike like a young Hashimi Al-Qarashi. Al-Husayn could not help flooding his eyes with tears and shouted at Umar ibn Sa'd, قَطَعَ اللَّهُ رَحْمَكَ كَمَا قَطَعْتَ رَحْمِي. What is the matter? What is the matter with you? May Allah cut off your lineage just as you have cut off mine, and just as you have not respected my kinship to the Messenger of Allah. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And may he send upon you someone to slay you on your own bed. Then he uncovered his hair and raised his hands to the heavens supplicating, Allahumma shahad ala ha'ula'i al-qawm faqad baraja ilayhim ghulamun ashbahun nas khalqan wa khuluqan wa mantiqan bi rasulillah. Oh Allah, bear witness against these folks that a man who looks most like the Messenger Muhammad in his physique, manners and eloquence has come out to fight them. Whenever we missed seeing your prophet, whenever we wanted to remember your prophet, oh Allah, we would look at him. Oh Allah, deprive them of the blessings of the earth, create dissension among them and make them into many parties, and do not let their rulers ever be pleased with them. For they invited us to support us, and they transgressed on us and fought us. Then we recited the Quranic verse, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He kept charging at their right and left wings. Ali al-Akbar fought like a lion, dividing their midst. Whenever a group of fighters met him, he would repulse them, all of them. And whenever a brave man faced him, he would kill him. He killed a total of 120 knights. Thirst took its toll on him. Imam al-Husayn was standing observing the actions of his son Ali al-Akbar, while his mother, the mother of Ali al-Akbar, Layla, was standing next to Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, and judging the looks on Imam Hussein's face, she could tell whether he was safe or not. Imam al-Husayn was joyous at once, and then suddenly the color of Imam Hussein's face went pale. She asked him, Ya Aba Abdullah, has anything happened to my son? Is my son safe? Is my son unscathed or not? Abu Abdullah al-Husayn then told her, he is safe, but there is a man that is determined to kill him. So go to the tent and ask Allah, pray to him to protect your son, for the prayer of a mother is accepted by Allah. She went inside the tent, she took off her scarf, then she raised her hands towards the sky and asked Allah in the name of the thirst of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn and his loneliness, Ilahi bi'atash al-Husayn, Ilahi bi'ghurbat Abi Abdullah, Ya Rad Yusuf ila Ya'qub. You are the one who brought Yusuf back to his father Yaqub. Urdud alayya waladi Ali. A few moments later, Ali al-Akbar came back, but he was very thirsty. He asked Imam al-Husayn for a drop of water. He returned to him and to rest, to complain about suffering from thirst. Imam al-Husayn wept and said, Oh help, how quickly shall you meet your grandfather? Ma asra an talqa jaddaka rasul Allah wa sayusqika bi ka'sihi al-awfa alladhi la tadhma'u ba'dahu abada. Who will give you a drink after which you shall never suffer of thirst. He gave him his tongue to suck, then his ring to put in his mouth. Ali went back to the battlefield feeling very happy about the good news that he was about to meet his grandfather Rasulullah, and he was finally about to drink a drop of water from the hands of Rasulullah, which he had just heard from the Imam, the Hujjah, who had told him that he would soon meet his grandfather, the chosen one. He therefore advanced towards them with courage, reminiscent of his grandfather Imam Ali. He met the enemies face to face. The latter could not tell whether it was Ali al-Akbar who was chasing the enemy or whether it was the Wasi Imam Ali roaring like a lion on the battlefield, or whether thunderbolts came emitting in an array from his sword. He kept killing the Kufians till the number of those whom he killed reached fully 200. Murra ibn Munqidh al-Abdi said, I shall bear all the sins of the Arabs should I not succeed in causing his father to lose him for good. He stabbed him with his lance in the back, and he hit him with the sword on his head, splitting it in half. God bless those who cry out, Ya Sayyidah! Wa Aliyah! Ali embraced his horse that carried him to the enemy camp. There he became the target of their swords. So they cut his body into bits and pieces. By the time Imam al-Hussein reached him, he called out saying, Alayka minni salam ya Aba Abdullah. Hada jaddi Rasulullah. Qad saqani bi ka'sihi al-awfa. Alladhi lan adma'a ba'dahu abada. Peace be upon you, O my father. Ya Aba Abdullah, my grandfather has just given me a drink with his own cup, after which I shall never suffer any thirst, and he says that there is another one reserved just for you, O father. Al-Hussein came to him and placed his cheek on his, and he said, عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَكَ الْعَفَا مَا أَجْرَأَهُمْ عَلَى الرَّحْمَانِ وَعَلَى انْتِهَاكِ حُرْمَةِ الرَّسُولِ. There is no good in life after you. How dare they defy the most merciful one, and how dare they violate the sanctity of his messenger. Hard it is upon your grandfather and your father that they cannot respond to you when you call upon them, and that they cannot help you when you ask for their help. Then he took a handful of his pure blood and threw it towards the heavens. Not a drop of it, according to our traditions, not a drop of that blood ever fell to the ground. Imam al-Hussein then wanted to carry Ali ibn al-Akbar back to the tent, but he would carry one piece and another piece of his son would fall onto the ground. So he ordered his servants to carry him to the tent. His corpse was brought to the tent, in front of which they were fighting. The honorable ladies who grew up in the home of revelation kept looking at him as he was carried away, with blood covering him with its red mantle of dignity. Stabs and wounds had spared no place in his body. They welcomed him with very heavy tears, calling out, Wa Aliyah! Their hair uncovered, their wailing defeating the world. Before them stood the wise lady of Bani Hashim, Zainab alayha salam, the great one, daughter of Fatima, daughter of the Messenger of Allah, crying and wailing. She threw herself on the corpse of her nephew, hugging it, grief-stricken, for he was the guardian of her home and its pillar. الأكبر يا ليلى تقام العلي الأكبر يا ليلى أوالي مطروح ظل ما حد يشيله When Abdullah ibn Muslim was killed, the family of Abu Talib undertook a collective campaign. Al-Hussein called out to them, he called out to the children of his brothers, to his nephews, and he said, Be patient, O cousin, صبراً على الموت, يا بني عمومتي, by Allah, after today you shall not meet any hardship at all. The assailants were comprised of Aun ibn Abdullah, son of Ja'far al-Tayyar, and the wise lady Zainab, his brother Muhammad, son Abdullah Rahim ibn Aqil ibn Abi Talib, his brother Ja'far son of Aqil, and Muhammad son of Muslim ibn Aqil. As many as 18 wounds were conceived by Al-Hasan II, Al-Hasan the son of Imam Al-Hasan, grandson of the Prophet, and his right hand was cut off, but he was not martyred yet. Abu Bakr, son of the commander of the faithful, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, whose first name was Muhammad, came out and was killed by Zahr ibn Badr al-Nakhai. Abdullah ibn Aqil now came out and kept fighting till his wounds overwhelmed him, the one who had lost his arm in the battle, so he fell. Uthman ibn Khalid al-Tamimi took advantage of the situation, walked to him and killed him. Abu Bakr, son of Imam al-Hasan, son of the commander of the faithful, came out. His first name was Abdullah al-Akbar. His mother was Umm Walad, named Ramlah. He fought till he was killed. After the letter, his full-blooded brother Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan came out. He was a young boy who had not yet come of age. When Al-Hussein looked at him, he hugged him and wept. then he permitted him to fight. But not before he said, but you are the only remnant of my brother Hassan. You are the reminder of my brother Hassan, O Qasim. He then permitted him to fight. After Al-Qasim started begging Imam al-Hussein for permission, he kissed his hands, he kissed his feet. He didn't want to miss the opportunity to be killed in the way of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. He was then given permission to leave. So he came out with a face looking like a full moon, bearing a sword and wearing a shirt and a mantle. On his feet he wore sandals. He had to fight on foot. The sandal string on his left foot was cut off. So he, the son of the great prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, hated to walk barefooted on the battlefield. So he therefore stopped for a moment to tie his sandal, regarding those enemies as no more valuable than his own sandal, paying no heed to their multitude, feeling unconcerned about their thousands. He leaned to mend his shoe as the war near him drew. Their war, they knew, was no more precious than his shoe, carrying his sword by its sheath shaded. Do not worry about what he did, for a branch is rendered to its root. This is the branch of Rasulullah and Imam al-Hasan, for a branch is rendered to its root. After the clouds comes the rain, and a cub is but a lion's son. And he was thus engaged. Amr ibn Sa'd ibn Nufayl al-Azdi attacked him. Hamid ibn Muslim asked him, what do you want to do to this lad? Are you not satisfied to see all the crowd that surround him? He said, by Allah, I shall attack him and I shall kill him. I shall attack him. He hit Al-Qasim with his sword. The lad fell face long, carrying out, Ya Amma, Ya Aba Abdullah, O Uncle Al-Hussein. Imam Al-Hussein came out to his help like an angry lion and struck Amr with his sword. Amr tried to avoid it with his arm, so the Imam cut it off from the elbow, causing him to let out a very loud scream, which was heard by the entire army. The cavalry of Ibn Sa'd charged in order to rescue him. Amr met them face to face, causing their horses to trample upon him and to eventually kill the cursed man. After some time, the cloud of dust dissipated, so Al-Hussein was now seen standing at the head of the young boy, examining his feet. Al-Hussein said, away with people who have killed you, ba'dan liqawmin qataluk, who have killed you while their opponents on the day of judgment will be your grandfather, Rasulullah. Then he said, hard it is, عز الله على عمك ألا يجيبك عز عليه أن تدعوك فلا يجيبك أو يجيبك فلا يعينك أو يعينك فلا يغني عنك. Hard it is by Allah that you call upon your uncle to help you and he cannot answer your call, or that he does answer but it cannot do much for you. It is a lone voice whose enemies are numerous and whose supporters are few. Then he carried him away. Al-Qasim was on Al-Hussein's chest. His legs were dragging on the ground. Do you know why? Because Imam al-Hussein's back was bent from the greatness of the tragedy and the calamity. His legs were dragging on the ground. Al-Hussein put the corpse beside that of Ali al-Akbar and of those of his family who had been killed. Then he raised his eyes to the heavens and supplicated, O Allah, count their numbers and do not leave any of them alone. Allahumma aqsihim adada. And do not leave any of them alone, and do not forgive a single one of them. Be patient, O cousin, sabran, ya bani umumati. Be patient, O my Ahlul Bayt. You shall never meet any hardship after today at all. When Al-Abbas alayhi salam saw how such a large number of his family members were being killed, he said to his brothers Abdullah, Uthman and Ja'far, advance, O brothers, so that I may see you supporting the cause of Allah and His Messenger. Then he turned to Abdullah, their oldest, and said, advance, O brother, so that I may see you receiving the honor of martyrdom. They fought in the front of Ahlul Bayt, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, until...